Hey, thanks for listening to Car Talk. You know, we'd like to better understand who is listening and why and how you are using podcasts. Please help us out by completing a short anonymous survey at npr.org/podcast survey. That's one word. It takes less than 10 minutes and will help support Car Talk. In return, we may be able to refer you to several good therapists. That's npr.org/podcast survey. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the new acronym division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, and the acronym du jour is AAADD, which stands for Age Activated Attention Deficit Disorder. Now, you may have this or you may know someone who has this.
Yes.
I certainly do.
Yes.
And this, I guess this little write-up to describe it is sort of like a little diary entry. Here it is. I decide to wash the car. I start toward the garage and I notice the mail on the table. Okay, I'm going to wash the car, but first I have to go through the mail. I lay the car keys down on the desk. I discard the junk mail and I notice the trash can's full. All right, I'll just put the bills on my desk and take the trash out. But since I'm going to be near the mailbox anyway, I'll pay these bills first. Where's the checkbook? Oh, there's only one check left. My extra checks are there in the desk. Oh, there's the Coke I was drinking. I'm going to look for those checks. But first, I have to put my Coke further away from the computer. Or maybe I'll just pop it in the fridge to keep it cold for a while. I head towards the kitchen, and my flowers catch my eye. They need some water. I set the Coke on the counter. Ooh, there are my glasses. I've been looking for them all morning. I better put them away first. I fill the container with water and head for the flower pots. Ah, someone left the TV remote in the kitchen. We will never think to look in the kitchen tonight when we want to watch TV, so I better put it back in the family room where it belongs. I splash some water into the pots and onto the floor. I throw the remote onto a soft cushion on the sofa and I head back down the hall trying to figure out what it was I was going to do. At the end of the day, the car's not washed, the bills are unpaid, the Coke is sitting on the kitchen counter, the flowers are half watered, the checkbook still has only one check in it, and I can't seem to find my car keys. When I try to figure out how come nothing got done today, I'm baffled because I know I was busy all day. Now, I don't want to say anything, but you may know someone who has something similar to this, and this is the beginning of it.
Oh, really?
And if you don't know someone, then you soon will.
Well, if you don't have it yet, you can call us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888. Well, I guess I have it, too.
You do?
To some extent.
Well, I guess... what were you just doing now?
I can't remember.
You were giving out the number.
I was?
Is that your Coke? Whose glasses are those?
Yeah. That's 888.
It's so easy to happen, though.
What?
Well, it's sort of boop, boop, boop. You zigzag around.
You know why? When you get old, you're running out of time.
No,
you got to do everything at once.
I know. In my case,
you can't take the time to plan stuff anymore.
Visual cues is what does it. You see something, and it reminds you of something that you didn't do. So you got to do it right then because you know if you don't, you're not going to remember to do it.
Yeah, I started making a list. Oh. I lost the list. Anyway, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Becca from Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Becca.
Becca.
Is that B-E-C-K-A?
Or? You are good. You got it the first time.
Wow. How come it's Becca with a K?
Well, I don't know.
Because Becca with two C's doesn't...
It's Rebecca with two C's.
It's Rebecca.
Right.
It's short for Rebecca. Oh, so your name is not really Rebecca.
It is really Rebecca, but I go by Becca, but it's Becca with a K.
Yeah, but Becca with two C's.
Yeah, well,
sounds,
hey, if it's your
sounds
name,
sounds funny.
You
looks
can
funny.
Make up anything you want.
I could put in a silent W.
You could make it Q-U-E. What do we care?
Anyway, what were we talking about?
Your glasses.
Is that my Coke?
What's up?
I have a Nissan Maxima. It's an automatic transmission. And my problem is that lately, and it's gotten worse over the last several months, but it started out where I'd be driving in town, and whenever it shifts, at the shift point, which is about 2,000 RPM, it will start to jerk and cough. It'll, like, it's choking. It'll go...
So this is when you're up to fourth gear.
Well, this is when it shifts from first to second and also from second to third.
Oh, any time that it shifts.
But it's at the high end. Right, so it's at the high end of each gear. So
yeah, and if I when that happens, I'll ease up on the gas, let it relax a little bit, kind of, you know, think good thoughts toward it, and then it's okay until the next time it goes to shift. If I give it too much gas, then the RPMs will really drop, it'll really bog down and really complain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how about... see, I have an answer already, but if I ask this question, I may lose my answer.
Okay.
Well, so I do this with great trepidation.
You know what they say in a courtroom? Never ask a question that you don't know the answer to.
We'd have to stop doing the show.
I think in the interest of science, you've got to ask the question.
How does it? Can you get the car up to 60 miles an hour? Will it do it, or will it fight you?
It will complain for a bit, but if I'm gentle with it and give it enough time, it will. I can get on the highway.
You a student?
I am not a student, but I work at a college in town.
Oh, how did you know that? You got that education link to her.
Well, no, the reason I ask that is I suspect that Becca hasn't had this thing tuned up in a long time.
That is not true.
Whoops.
Whoops.
Was that
not
your question?
True.
Okay.
I'm sorry you asked that.
I stand corrected.
Actually, it was about, I can't remember the exact date, but it was within the last 6 months and maybe five months ago.
And was
you know
it
what
done
they
to
did?
Address this problem?
I told him about it at the time, my mechanic. That was at the point when I thought it may have been in the transmission and the problem. He couldn't get it to have that problem because it happened less frequently.
Yeah, so he never really
I'm
going to
ask a question, too.
Okay.
Aren't they supposed to ask the questions?
Is it worse in bad weather?
No.
All right.
Okay.
I think you have a partially or more aptly, almost completely plugged fuel filter. So that the thing is starved for gas.
Well, we were both on the same...
So if you try to accelerate too quickly and the demand of the fuel injectors is so great that the clogged fuel filter doesn't allow enough fuel to pass through it, you'll get this. If you sneak up on it and accelerate gently, it will be okay.
Yeah,
I was going for injectors myself.
Well, I mean, it could be a lot of things. It could be a weak spark. That's why I'd asked you if it had not been tuned up in a long time. My first suspicion was, you know, bad spark plug wires or
no,
worn
I gave
out,
up on that right away.
Worn out spark plugs that hadn't been changed in 5 years while you were trying to earn your degree in art history.
Music, actually.
Music history.
Equally unmarketable.
Yes. So I still believe that it could be one of those things. I don't know what this fellow did for tune-up, but I would ask him if he changed your fuel filter.
I shall.
And if he didn't, that would be the first thing I would do.
Okay.
And if he did, I'm going to stick with the fuel injectors myself, personally.
I'll check those, too.
Right. Well, Tommy's partial to fuel injectors.
I am. I'm stuck in the fuel injector company.
Good luck, Becca.
Thank you very much, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Bill from Northborough, Massachusetts.
Hi, Bill.
I have...
Wait a minute, Bill. Before we start... Our producer, Doug Burr, we have headphones on. You know, we're listening to you through one ear, and the other ear is channeled directly to our producer, Doug Berman.
who tells us little things, you know, like guys.
Answer the questions, knuckleheads. try to keep it under a half an hour for each call. So we want to let you know, we're pressed for time, so we don't care where you're from or even your name for that matter. What's going on with your car, Mac?
Well, a question more than a problem. I try to do my own work to save money, maintenance, things like that.
Yeah, and to have an excuse to buy tools.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and
know that.
I find working on the cars very difficult. You seem to have to remove three or four components to get to the one you want to work on.
That's
yeah,
life.
No kidding. That's why I have no hair left.
I mean, do professionals have some sort of secret?
There are tricks, however, you learn along the way, and there are shortcuts that you learn, and things that look like they're difficult to get to can be easy to get to.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a great example. The other day, we had a Ford Tempo in the shop that had a front engine seal leaking. And the crankshaft pulley is about an eighth of an inch away from the frame.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't get the bolt out, and you can't get the pulley off, and you can't. Now, if you can do all this, it's a 10-minute job.
Right.
So I look at this thing, and I go to the book. I go to All Data or Mitchell's. I have both of them. I go to Mitchell's and All Data. I look it up in Mitchell. Mitchell says da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You have to take the engine out. All Data says da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it says you may have to take the engine out. And what they're telling you is you may have to take the engine out unless you cut a hole in the frame.
Exactly.
So I called the customer, and I told him. I said, would you like us to take your engine out at a great expense, or would you like us to do the job in an hour by cutting a hole in your frame? Cut the frame off.
Yeah.
So that is an example of a trick. But oftentimes, things that look like they're really buried aren't buried, and you can move things out of the way and make things much more accessible. And one advantage of modern cars is you can get at a lot of stuff from underneath, which you don't have the advantage of working in your driveway.
True.
Because you don't have underneath. And when you try to get at something from the top, for example, changing belts is very difficult from the top of most cars. That is, from under the hood. But if you put the car on the lift and attack it from underneath, it becomes trivial. So that's one of the things that you have to discover.
Yeah.
So you need to buy a lift.
You got to buy a lift.
There you go. I always wanted to.
Yeah.
Where's the best-selling book, Secrets You Ought to Know?
Well, we haven't written it yet.
Well, and there used to be an English line of books that was good, but I don't see them for sale anymore.
Hanes. They made underwear.
Yes.
Yeah, Hanes was good, actually.
Because they actually took the car apart and took pictures of it.
Actually, if you can get from All Data, you can get a repair manual for your car.
And what, pray tell, does this cost?
$19.95.
Wow.
Something like that. $20.
Well, that's significantly cheaper than the Honda shop manual that I bought.
Well, exactly right. Yeah. And it basically...
You do have a computer in your car, don't you?
No, but I have one near my car.
Well, you buy a 100-foot extension cord.
There you go.
You plug the computer and you hope it doesn't rain on it. Don't spill any oil on the keyboard.
There you go.
And you can have all that information at your fingertips.
Great.
So to speak.
I'll look for it.
Thanks for calling, Bill.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hi. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jackie. I'm from Opelika, Alabama.
Hi, Jackie.
Opelika?
Opelika.
How do you spell
that?
That's
just up the road from Smut Eye and down the road from Slap Out.
Spell
right next door to Auburn University.
How do you spell Opelika?
Opelika. O-P-E-L-I-K-A.
Oh, Opelika.
I like an Opelika.
Cool.
So how are you, Jackie?
I'm fine.
And what can we do for you?
Well, before you start laughing now, I have an escort, but that's what I could afford.
No, we do not laugh at
escorts. We don't laugh at escorts. Oh, no. In fact,
I have squeaky brakes.
Uh-huh.
But the problem is I show chihuahuas.
Oh, you do.
And when we're driving down the road and I put the brakes on and they squeak, it's hard to steer and scrape a chihuahua off the roof of the car.
They must go nuts. They hear that howling. They go, rawr, rawr, rawr.
What do you carry, a spatula with you at all times?
You know, I've given my brother $100 if he can spell chihuahua.
C-H-I-H. Chihuahua.
Correct.
I owe you $100. Okay, Jackie, since you said correct, send me 50 of it.
Yeah, right. I drive an escort, remember?
Oh, that's right.
All right, $10.
And I can't get these dumb dogs to go to work to support me.
No, they won't do that.
No, and they can't pull very much
anyway.
They're
not so dumb, are they?
They're little.
No. Nope.
They're saying, boy, we got this dumb Jackie supporting us.
Driving us all over, showing us off.
And all we have to do is bark once in a while.
No, I do show them in the legitimate show.
I'm sure you do. Yeah. It must be fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun. It's getting expensive. But besides that, I also do a fashion show. But I don't model. They do.
A doggy fashion show.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
A chihuahua fashion show. They model everything from bikinis with the sunglasses to a wedding party.
It must be a riot.
All right, let's get back to your squeaky brakes. Did they start squeaking right after you had a brake job done?
Probably not long, yes.
Yeah. And did you have this brake job done at the local garage and charm school?
Yes.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, I mean, there are many brands of aftermarket brake pads and disc rotors. And there are many chemicals which can be applied to these things to keep them from squealing. And it's possible that they put on a cheap pad and they didn't put any of these chemicals on that prevent the squealing.
Oh.
And so you may have to go back to these guys and insist that they change the pads again and or at least put this disc brake quiet stuff on to muffle some of the noises. And when disc brakes first came out, they all made noise, and everyone in the world was coming up with a different chemical to stop the noise. And it seems nowadays that they've got it licked finally. After 20-odd years, they figured out how to make disc brakes that don't make noise anymore, or very little noise. So this is a simple problem to fix, but you have to go back and be insistent. Now, if you had a bigger dog, you'd probably have a little better luck.
Yeah.
But you ain't going to intimidate any garage mechanic with a couple of chihuahuas wearing bikinis and sunglasses.
Well, I have 11 of them.
Yeah, well, 11? Well, maybe they can gang up on them.
See if you can borrow a Rottweiler for the afternoon.
So I guess I would have to borrow a Rottweiler.
Yeah.
Borrow a Rottweiler and go in and ask nicely that he replace the brake pads and put some chemicals on those pads so they don't make any more noise, and that'll solve your problem, and you won't have to scrape any more chihuahuas off the headliner.
Thanks a lot for calling, Jackie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
What? She's having a good time.
Yes, she is.
That's good.
Okay, look, it's time once again for me to give you a mental dope slap and see if I can shake loose last week's puzzler. You know, like we do every week. You ready, man?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You're minding your own business, and a cop car whizzes by your house going 80 miles an hour, and you say, geez, looks like another blank.
Simple. Another grand opening of a new Krispy Kreme. No?
Well, could have been, but I was looking for a high-speed chase.
Oh, another high-speed chase.
The puzzler was about a high-speed chase that originated in a town up north. And we'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
Service lights on. Radiator blown. Don't even ask why, 'cause you gotta get there. The muffler drags. Mechanical betrayal. Don't even ask why, 'cause you gotta get there.
And even though Javanese hot coal walkers wince in pain whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp, the online counseling service dedicated to connecting you with a licensed counselor to help you overcome whatever stands in the way of your happiness. Fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a professional tailored to your needs. And if you aren't satisfied with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time free of charge. Visit betterhelp.com/cartalk to get 10% off your first month. Get the help you deserve with BetterHelp.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
The biggest story in the world is a science story. And keeping up with all the latest coronavirus research, it's a lot. So on Shortwave, we translate the science you need to know into short daily episodes. Listen and subscribe to Shortwave from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Now, this puzzler was submitted many times, I think, by a fellow named Chuck Lederer, starting back in 1970 and continuing right up to last week. Anyway, here it is. Sergeant O'Malley and his rookie assistant, Ned, are on duty one Saturday morning, and they're just pulling out of the local,
donut shop. Krispy Kreme.
When they get a call on the radio that says the town north of them has had a bank robbery, and the suspects are proceeding south on the highway, you know, in a high-speed chase. It's been going on for like 40 minutes, and they're heading right to their town, of course, and they should be on the lookout.
Yeah.
Now, even though the state police don't have a plate number, they do know that the car in question, the car they've been pursuing and lost, is a yellow Mustang with two men in the front seat and a woman in the back seat.
Mm.
So O'Malley and Ned are pulling out of the donut shop, and they happen to see the very car with two men in the front and a woman in the back, yellow Mustang.
Yeah.
With no license plate. O'Malley says, That's the car, Ned. Hold on. We're going after it. Ned, who's been studying the back of the car, says, I don't think so, Sarge. It's not them.
Huh.
O'Malley says, of course it is. It's a yellow Mustang. It's got three people, two guys and a woman. Ned explains his theory, and O'Malley says, oh, yeah.
Consigned.
I guess you're right. Mm. So the question is, what did Ned know?
Yeah.
And what
this is very good.
What Ned did see coming out of the back of the car was water dripping out of the tailpipe. Mm, and if there had been a high-speed chase for 40 minutes...
That engine would be boiling hot.
And so would the exhaust system, and would have vaporized all the water that was in that exhaust system. And as these guys pulled away from Sergeant O'Malley in Ned's police car, he saw a whole bunch of water spill out of the tailpipe. And as you know, water is one of the products of combustion. But when the exhaust system gets up to temperature, that water gets converted into steam,
right,
and is invisible. Now, of course, it's worse in the wintertime because it takes a lot longer for the exhaust system to heat up.
But you know they weren't driving for 40 minutes.
After a 40-minute high-speed chase, there should be no water, and Ned knew something that O'Malley didn't. So do we have a winner this week?
Can I say that this was a sugob?
A sugob.
Which is bogus spelled backwards? It just came to me.
Really? A sugob, huh?
A sugob.
Really?
That was great.
The opposite of bogus.
Opposite of bogus. The reverse.
Well, congratulations to Chuck. I mean, it just goes to show you.
Yeah. Perseverance.
Persistence pays off.
Yeah.
And to that guy who's been sending in the one about there's been a letter of complaint to the Pontiac Division of General Motors, don't give up. It's on 20 years now, and we may use it.
All right, so do we have a winner? Who's the winner?
I'm asking you.
Oh, you asked me. Well, we do have a winner. It's Lucy Stamm from Boise, Idaho, and for having her answer selected at random from the chairlift full of correct answers that we got. Lucy is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, and with that, she can get a set of Car Talk reusable shopping bags.
Hey, you know, these are turning out to be very popular at the supermarkets, at least among people who like to be mocked while they shop.
Yeah, that's me.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzle coming up in the third half of the show, so don't go anywhere. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Daniel, calling from the Big Island of Hawaii.
Hey,
hi, Daniel.
The Big Island.
Yep.
Have you lived there a long time?
About 10 years.
Wow.
Did you see the movie Finding Forrester?
Yes, I did.
At the end of the movie, there's a rendition of Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Yes.
Sung by some Hawaiian guy.
Yes.
How do you say his last name?
Well, it could have been Kanaka Viva Ole.
No, it was Israel something or other.
Yeah, Israel Kanaka Viva Ole.
Kanaka Viva Ole.
Yes, he's unfortunately deceased, but he was a great performer.
Oh, wow, he has a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
Say it one more time.
Kanaka Viva Ole.
Kanaka Viva Ole.
I might have some Hawaiians get very angry at me with my pronunciation.
Well, I had it guacamole, so you were doing, you were doing a lot better. You did a lot better than I did.
I'm trying.
Daniel, how can we help you?
Well, you can help me because I have this mystery that I need solved. Actually, my car is already fixed. I have a 93 Toyota Tercel, had no problems with it. Then one day I go to start it, and it was cranking, just would not start. So fortunately, my father-in-law was out, and he's kind of a mechanic. We fiddled with a few things, could not get it to start.
Gotcha.
So then we called the traveling mechanic, Dexter. He comes out, he gets to the distributor cap.
Aha!
When he opened the cap up, there
yes.
was this odor that was unbelievable that came out of the distributor cap. I mean, it smelled like roadkill,
Ooh.
You know, 2 weeks old.
Really?
Yes. There was like a brownish sludge in there with maggots living inside.
Ooh, you know what this is like? You remember
yeah.
the fly? Where Vincent Price goes into the machine and
yeah.
there's a fly in there with him. Someone changed the cap. A fly got caught in there.
Get
well, now
out.
The deal is no one has touched the car. I mean, we had the oil change was the last time anyone touched the car. It had been 4 months ago, and I don't know why anyone would be messing with a distributor cap. The only thing we could think of is the same thing. Someone, you know, was fixing the car, eating a Big Mac, some meat dropped in there, fly went in, and he covered the thing, you know, sealed it back up.
Boy, it sounds good, but I gotta go and say ball. Here's what happened.
Yes.
You got it, huh? You know enough biology to answer this question?
No.
Are you going to answer anyway?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Go, man.
This distributor cap,
yes,
is attached to the distributor with three screws.
Yes.
Which I'm sure Dexter removed.
Yes.
Between the cap and the housing of the distributor, there is a
rubber gasket. Yes.
And believe me, a molecule of helium couldn't get past that gasket.
Right.
When those screws are tight.
Right. Yes.
So you have to ask, if no one had the distributor cap off for at least 4 months,
yes,
how could a fly have gotten in there to lay eggs?
Exactly.
Well, the way the fly got in was through the vent. Distributors of yesteryear didn't have vents.
Uh-huh.
And they discovered that in spite of their best efforts, water vapor always got into a distributor.
Uh-huh.
And once the water got in there, it would wreak havoc on the ignition system.
Right.
So they put a little vent with a little rubber cap on it.
Okay.
Okay. Now what's happened is that plastic cap has fallen off.
Uh-huh. And there's a little hole there now.
And it's big enough for a fly to get in,
uh-huh,
and lay its eggs.
Really?
But the question is,
why?
What was it eating? Something had to get in there first.
Okay, well, now we're going to need a fly psychologist.
Well, it was a nice, safe place.
Uh-huh.
If you were a fly looking for, I mean, creatures are always looking for safe places to lay their eggs.
Yes.
Sure, he said, hey, she said, I'm sorry.
Sure, and you don't drive the car every day, probably.
No, that was the thing. Every day, I drove
You drive
it
the car every day. I knew that. Well, imagine her surprise when she laid those eggs and had to make a quick exit, leaving them behind.
Well, I'm going to run this by Dexter and see what he thinks.
Well, you look at that distributor cap, and you will see a little shaft sticking out of the top of it.
Okay.
There should be a plastic cover on it.
Okay.
And yours is missing.
And do they make little covers they can buy?
You have to buy a new distributor cap.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And they...
Or put a piece of chewing gum over it.
Right.
Good luck, Daniel.
Hey, thanks a lot.
What an interesting call.
Oh, wow.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Aloha.
Good.
Aloha. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Susan from the Inland Empire in Southern California.
The Inland Empire?
What does that
right,
mean?
Road rage capital of the USA.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the Riverside San Bernardino area.
Oh.
Yeah, smog.
And that's known as the road rage capital of the world?
I read that recently. Yeah, we've got that.
Have you seen incidents of road rage?
I've caused incidents of road rage.
Oh, really?
Yes,
that's good.
Probably one of the causes.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
But you haven't actually engaged in the reciprocation.
No, I'm passive road rage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you might be interested. I personally am going to sue the state police of Massachusetts.
Is that right?
Yeah, because they are responsible for road rage. And I'm going to have to sue the entire state police force. And you might want to do that in Riverside.
Sure.
Well, because people are out there violating the law every day, and the police hide. They hide. They could give out 10,000 tickets a day if they wanted to.
Well, do you realize how dangerous it is being a policeman? I give these guys a break.
Well,
you know?
I mean, why don't they shape up and do their work?
Well,
they're busy watching empty holes here in Massachusetts.
Well, you got a lot of them.
They guard empty holes.
Why do we have the same last name? Is there a way can we do something about this?
We don't have to have the same last name. I mean, even people who are married don't have the same last name. Why should we?
You can
change your name to anything you want. I don't care.
I am. From now on, I'm going to come up with a new last name for myself because I can't have the same last name.
I'm going to spell it so that in case they stop, they'll know. And by the way, if you stop my brother, he's not responsible. My brother's name is Tom. All right, Susan.
Okay.
Now that we got that taken care of.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I got carried away there.
Yes, and I have a very complex problem.
Oh.
My problem has ethical, social, aesthetic, and olfactory dimensions.
Olfactory.
Wait a minute,
even
olfactory. Ethical.
Yes.
Moral.
Social.
Social.
Social. Aesthetic.
Yes.
And
olfactory.
And olfactory.
Yes. Okay.
Excellent.
Here's my problem.
Yeah.
What car should I buy, given that I lead a double life?
Ooh.
Ooh, we're interested.
Does it involve clothing?
It does, actually, but only in a minor way.
Oh.
Okay, here's my problem. I rescue farm animals. I rescue pot-bellied pigs in particular.
Yeah.
And that's half of what I do. The other half is... I'm the
You're a go-go dancer.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I, having risen to my level of incompetence, I am the chair of the philosophy department at a nearby, not to be named, college. And
I got it, man. This is
okay,
great.
Now you got to picture this.
I got it.
So I currently drive a 1987 Honda Civic Pigmobile.
Yeah.
It's the Pigmobile because when I rescue these animals, I just toss them right in the back of the station wagon.
Yep,
you know,
sure.
Goats, pigs, whatever.
Right.
And
and then you go to class.
Yeah, right. Well, this leads to the olfactory dimension of the problem.
Yeah.
So at the same time, because I'm the chair of the department, I sometimes have to drive around people, you know, visiting philosophers,
sure.
People who might want jobs, and, you know, the dean, whatever.
Just tell me, are the other people in the philosophy department aware of your second life?
Oh, yes, and they won't ride with me. No, they no longer, you know, if I say, let's go out to lunch, they always say,
we'll
take our car.
Right.
So my problem is, I need a vehicle.
Yeah.
But the ethical dimension is, I don't want to get some big gas-guzzling thing.
Sure.
And, you know, I would rather have a zero-emissions little car, you know, from an ethical point of view.
Yeah.
Right, right.
What I'd really need is something big enough that maybe I could haul a trailer so I don't have to throw these animals right in the car with
me. Just what I was going to suggest.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, but, I mean, there would be ways to insulate you from the back of the car.
Right.
But a trailer would be really the best way.
Yeah. Well, but then there's the aesthetic dimension of the problem.
Yeah.
I don't want a truck. I don't think that's my image.
How about a little pickup truck?
Yeah, you don't want a pickup truck?
Oh, they're so cute with a little cap on the back.
See, I had a pickup once, and
sure.
I just didn't feel it didn't satisfy the, you know, the midlife crisis and aesthetic dimensions of the problem.
Yeah, but now you've entered into a more practical point in your life.
Yeah, and now you're the chair of the department,
right,
so you're in better shape now to express
your
real desires.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go have faculty meetings smelling like pigs.
That's right. Well, it's been done.
It's been done. And,
so,
yeah. Well, I mean, if you don't want a trailer, the trailer would be the cheapest way because you got the car already. Maybe you don't because...
You think this thing is so underpowered anyway, it won't pull.
Well, I mean, how big are the pigs?
Well, they vary.
Are they 600-pound pigs?
No. I'm usually rescuing the little potbelly kind. When they get to, you know, people get them when they're little, and then when they get to be about 150 pounds and they're you know, rooting up the carpet, people want to get rid of them, and then you know, I take them.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's no different than having your mother-in-law in the back seat.
Well, I'm not even going to go there.
And I shouldn't have gone there.
No, you shouldn't have.
No, my mother-in-law is very nice, and she's very patient, actually.
Uh-huh.
I brought home a wild pig once in the back of the car, and she didn't even comment on that.
No, you need a pickup truck. First of all, for health reasons, too. So you need to separate.
Wait a minute.
And you need to have a vehicle... whose bed you can wash out. I mean, that's...
Well, right.
So you can take the pickup truck and take your garden hose out and wash out or whatever they leave behind.
But the real question is, how intertwined are these double lives, these two lives that you lead? Because,
well,
I mean, are you like Batman?
Yes.
So when the thing appears on the clouds, you have to just jump
jump out of a chairs meeting and drive.
And
to
drive to save
shelter,
to save a pig.
You know what you need?
Pick up a pig, you bet. Yeah,
a jumpsuit.
Right. Well, I have to have clothes.
You got to get in your jump. You jump into your jumpsuit.
That's right.
You tackle the pig.
That's it.
Throw him in the back of the pickup truck.
That's it.
Slam the tailgate.
Right.
Take your jumpsuit off. Throw it in there with the pig.
Yeah.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be a jumpsuit. I mean, it could have a cape.
Right.
A cape. A mask.
Yeah.
So, but that means that you do need the pickup because you don't want to be dragging the trailer around all the time when you don't need it.
That's
I thought if the two lives were really separate, you know, like on Thursday afternoons you go rescue a pig, and on Wednesday morning you're a chair of the philosophy department.
No, when those pigs come a calling, man, you can't put them off.
Got to be ready. I got a cell phone and a pager.
Until the pigs call you.
Yeah, that's right. Right. No, see, there's half of the world that around here that knows me as Pig Woman.
Pig Woman.
Yeah, Pig Woman. And then the other, you know, the other part.
I would try to quash that one.
Well, it's a good thing you don't teach in the language department. You'd be accused of teaching Pig Latin.
Yeah, okay. I think it's a pickup truck.
Okay. I got it.
See you, Susan.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. Hey, look, it's time for us to take a little break.
This is so our wonderful local stations can give out important information to our listeners.
No. This is so teenagers out there have a minute to reprogram their parents' presets and escape the rest of the show.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute.
So I bought Ford Pinto car, $500. Let up, take me far. It's a 78 Ford Pinto car, and it's light blue. It'll take me far. Well, I drove it to Cassandra's house back then, and they still care.
And even though Italian-Americans line up to change their last names to Wilcox whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
Hey, it's Guy Raz from NPR's How I Built This, and each week on the show during this unprecedented crisis, I'll be asking some of the top founders and builders how they're dealing with the economic impact of the coronavirus and hear about some of the ways they're pivoting to fight it. Subscribe or listen now to How I Built This.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and my brother is going to discuss the new puzzler.
Da, 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 da.
Go, baby.
I have no idea when this was sent in. I do have an idea. It was Roger Myers sent this in, and I didn't.
Oh, you have names.
I didn't. Oh, yeah. I always attribute them. Yeah, I always give the names. You never know. There are no innocents here at Car Talk. And here it is. A group of explorers and other wackos were trapped in northern Alaska for the winter season and stuck in the ice and snow. They had only one means of escaping to civilization before spring. They had in their possession an old World War II airplane with skis. You know, remember those?
Wow.
That they could use in the event of an emergency. And the plane had a placard on the instrument panel that said in bold red letters, "Do not attempt to start engine with oil temperature below minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit." Did I mention it was cold? They're in Alaska.
Yeah.
Very cold.
Okay.
Three pairs of Bronco Nagurski long underwear cold. Well, wouldn't you know it, a medical emergency arose.
Of course.
And when the pilot checked the oil temperature gauge, he discovered that it was broken.
Oh.
As luck would have it, this being an international kind of team, all of their instruments were in what? Centigrade. And nobody could remember the formula for converting centigrade to Fahrenheit. Finally, Krusty.
Yeah.
His name wasn't Krusty then, because it was a long time ago. His name was Skip.
Oh, yeah.
He'd been carefully looking over the engine for the last couple of days, perhaps hoping to make his own escape. Anyway, he emerges. You ready for this?
Yeah.
From the inky shadows of the dimly lit Quonset hut.
Yeah.
And the others ask, "Do you know the formula for converting centigrade to Fahrenheit?"
And he says, "No."
He says, "I don't know or need no stinking formulas."
Ooh.
He said, "But I know you can start the engine."
Yeah.
"It'll be all right." And they say, "Okie dokie." And sure enough, they start it up and it's fine. Of course, the propeller fell off, but that's another story. So the question is, how did Krusty know? Now, if you think you know the answer.
He didn't know the formula.
Write it on a postcard or on the back of a $26 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. In the meantime, call us with questions about your car. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello there. How you doing?
Great. Great. Who's this?
This is Steve.
Steve, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Lexington, Kentucky.
I would have guessed you were a Southerner. Just, I don't know why.
Why would you guess that?
People can't tell with me.
Who told you that?
Oh, Pappy? From here, mostly.
Pappy Yoakum.
Hey, now.
So what's up, Steve?
I have an 88 LeBaron GTS Turbo. It's a 2.2 liter.
Right.
And after it gets warmed up, mostly during the summer and spring when it gets really hot, the thing just starts idling below 1,000 RPM, and it just starts to shake like it's going to have like some kind of major seizure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially on hot days. In the fall and winter, it really doesn't do it when it stays cool outside. I've had the fuel injectors cleaned and replaced. I've had the timing checked to tune up. They scraped something along the turbo on the inside of the car, saying that maybe carbon buildup was part of the problem. And a few other things, which I can't recall, that just cost too much money. Help.
Help, huh?
Help. You said something about like an EGR valve. Am I making that up?
No,
you're not.
No, that's it's a possibility.
Is that something that I would have on my car?
Yeah, you have one.
Okay.
You have one. It could be faulty or it could be sticking. I mean, what you have, I believe,
mm-hmm.
is a vacuum leak of some kind.
A vacuum leak?
Yeah, and the vacuum leak could be coming even from the EGR valve. It would not be sucking in fresh air.
Okay.
Rather, it would probably be sucking in exhaust, making the thing run really rough if it's the EGR.
So how would I... I don't know if they've ever tested for vacuum leaks. I guess that would have been too simple and too inexpensive to do, right?
No, it's...
Don't even bother with that stuff.
Yeah, it is too simple. And the way you would test for it was with a propane enrichment test. We have a little device which you hook up to a little propane tank.
Uh-huh.
And you actually walk this thing around various places where there could be a vacuum leak. And you see if the introduction of propane to the outside the engine makes the engine rev
smooth
up and run smoothly.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're going to walk this thing around, and they're either going to find a leaky intake manifold gasket. It may be when the engine gets really hot that the intake manifold is warping a little bit, allowing some extra air to get in there. It could be the EGR valve is hanging up, and they can certainly take the EGR valve off and plug the port and see if that problem is solved.
It would be simple as a PVC valve, would it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But it could be. I mean, it could be a vacuum leak any place, but it's going to be some place that's really affected by high temperatures.
Right, and that's why it's happening in the summer and not happening in the winter.
Oh, okay.
And you say they replaced all four injectors?
Man, they replaced the injectors after they cleaned them a dozen times. They did, it was all for naught because it still did it after it got hot. I was living out in West Texas where it gets like 350 degrees.
Yeah.
Which causes a whole other set of problems, which I don't think we can discuss on a car phone.
No. So you moved from West Texas to the Arctic Circle here in Lexington, Kentucky.
It's just not cold enough up here for me. This is where I am from originally. I moved to Texas with a wife and had the misfortune of leaving her there.
Oh.
Aha. Uh-huh.
She dumped you, huh?
Yeah, she pretty much did. She fell in love with some other dude.
Some cowboy, right?
Some cowboy from West Texas.
I think cowboy would be a nicer way of putting it. And I understand they just recently got NPR out there, and so I'm sure she'll enjoy hearing me on the air.
I'm sure she will.
I'm sure she will.
Good luck with your LeBaron, Steve.
Thanks, man.
All right. Hey,
thanks for calling. So now there's a guy you could drink coffee with. You can just tell from the sound of his voice that you can see him sitting there.
My dear brother, you would drink coffee with Jack the Ripper if he was buying.
No, this is the kind of guy you could sit there and smoke a big, big cigar about that big.
I agree.
And just talk to Steve.
I agree. Steve
now, sounds why, like a... How could his wife leave him? How could she
because
do that?
He's busy smoking cigars, drinking coffee all the time, and neglecting her.
Is that why all my wives have left me too?
Yeah, you could be homing in on it, man.
Oh, well. Isn't it a wife or coffee?
Or cigar.
Or cigar. A Cuban cigar.
Well, no, you can't introduce the Cuban cigar because there's no competition.
There's no competition.
Jennifer's shaking her head saying, boy, are they in trouble when they get home tonight? For the second week in a row.
Yeah, what did you say of last week?
It wasn't I.
Oh,
yes, you did mention, I think, something about life ending when you get married. I'm not sure, but it was something like that.
I didn't say that, did I?
No, not in general. I think you said life ended for me when I got married.
Is that why Joanna's been a little cool this week?
And then the kids came along, and then,
The kids have been kind of cool all week, too.
Yeah.
Forget them.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Beth from Somerville.
Beth, Somerville what? New Jersey?
Somerville, Mass.
No kidding.
The Somerville.
What's on your mind? Is it Somervillian or is it just a generic question?
Well, it's sort of
question.
Along the lines of, does life end when you get married?
Oh, and we can discuss that. Yeah.
But the cigar thing, that can.
That can?
That can end life and or marriage.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Anyway, the question is in reference to a 91 Honda Civic and a husband.
Oh, okay.
Who doesn't smoke cigars.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, one has to make his choices in life, you know. And
it's true.
There's nothing like a Cuban cigar.
I believe Mark Twain said, a woman is only a woman.
It's Goethe.
Oh, was it Goethe? Oh, Nietzsche might have said it. A woman is only a woman, but a good cigar is a smoke. Who said that?
Rudyard Kipling.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Beth, 91 Honda Civic. I'm 91 sorry.
91 Honda Civic, and this is actually a case of a serious marital discord.
Ooh.
And I need to know two things from you all, because you are the Supreme Court of
Honda,
car disputes.
Honda yeah. Discord.
And I need to know, first, who is right, and then, second, how much extra wear does the wrong person actually put on the clutch by doing the wrong thing?
Okay, well, we already know the answer to
yes,
question one.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right.
You
yes.
wouldn't have that authority in your voice if you weren't.
Okay.
However, I have agreed not to bring the subject up until you have made the determination of exactly who is right.
All right,
cool.
So what's the question?
I love the
what's
power.
Your position?
The question was, I was taught that the correct way to shift from first to second gear from a complete stop is as follows.
Wait. From a complete you don't
from
you
a know. Complete stop.
What, you're at a complete stop.
You're at a complete stop.
Why are you shifting from first to second if you're at a complete stop?
Because you have to go again at some point.
But if it's a dead stop, you're shifting into first.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Oh, so go ahead. Gotcha. Tell
okay.
us what you do.
Okay, so you're waiting at the stop sign.
Yeah. Where are your feet?
It's time when, to go.
Where are your feet?
Your feet are not on the clutch.
Good.
No. One
not
of them's
on
the brake and the other one is out the window.
Yes.
Got it.
When it's time to go,
yes.
you depress the clutch and engage first gear.
Yes.
As soon as the car is in first gear, you take your foot off the clutch
yes.
and drive until the engine reaches about 3,000 RPM,
yes.
something around there. In a Honda Civic, where you don't have a tachometer, blah, it's about 15 miles an hour.
Okay.
When the car sounds like it's ready to go into second gear, it's kind of thinking, okay, I really need to go into second gear now.
Yeah.
Then you depress the clutch and shift to second gear.
Okay, now give us alternative B.
This is alternative B.
No, wait, this is, okay.
That
this,
was A. Okay.
That was A.
This is your position.
Well, we don't want to know whose position it is.
Although well, she
we
did it so authoritatively, it has to be hers.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be tough to beat, I'll tell you that.
Okay. Well, this is the alternative version, which may or may not be acceptable.
Yeah. And
well,
this
obviously,
is,
there are only two choices.
Right. And the alternative version is from your losing husband.
He hasn't lost yet.
Yeah, okay.
When it's time to go, you depress the clutch and shift into first gear.
Yeah.
Keeping the clutch partially depressed until the car reaches 5 to 10 miles an hour.
Ooh!
Okay.
Shift into second gear
Ooh.
And continue driving. Now, I believe that this is the horrible sin known as slipping the clutch that will cause excessive wear and result in expensive repair jobs.
You're wrong about one thing.
I am wrong.
It's called riding the clutch.
Riding the clutch, yes. Okay.
And it causes one to wear out a clutch in about, I'd say, 12,560 miles.
Yes, okay.
Now, we count on this for our livelihood, I'll have you know.
Yeah, so, right. So we're at a little bit, we have a little bit of a vested interest in divulging the truth
over the
air. There
was a moral dilemma.
It certainly is. It's like the lawyer. When the client gave him $100 and the client left and he noticed that there were $200 bills stuck together, at which point he was faced with a moral dilemma. Should he tell his partner? So we got the same kind of moral dilemma.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, but we obviously have to side with you, Beth. I mean, your method is 100% correct.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
His is 30% correct.
Oh, no, his is 100% wrong.
Well,
100%
no,
wrong.
He was correct in that he has his foot off the clutch. I mean, there were some points which were correct.
Off the clutch
yeah,
at the stop line.
He doesn't put his foot on the clutch while he's waiting
right.
at the stop sign most of the time.
Right, so he's not 100% wrong. But,
yeah.
but in that area where he's allowing the slippage to take place,
oof,
that's bad.
This is
that's bad.
That is about the worst thing you can do. And many, many people do this.
Yes,
they don't
I know.
Take their foot completely off. You want to have your foot off the clutch all the time if possible.
Yeah.
Because when your foot is off the clutch is not wearing out.
Exactly.
The clutch wears out when it's halfway down.
Right.
And the last thing you want to do is be driving the car with the clutch halfway down. In fact, if you wanted to wear out a clutch, the way you would do it is you would just leave your foot halfway down on the clutch pedal and drive around for a couple of days. I know that this happens because I loaned my car once to a person who didn't know how to drive a car with a clutch.
Ah.
And in a matter of a few hundred miles,
okay,
she completely destroyed the clutch doing exactly this.
Oh, boy.
Now, so, and he divorced her.
She was not one
that.
Of my wives. No, that was not one of my wives.
Well, so, okay, so I should definitely...
So you're 100% right, but before you go, how are you going to handle this, Beth? I mean, are you going to go, nah, 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 to your poor husband?
Not. This is ammunition. This is probably good for at least 3 or 4 years.
You're going to dole this out in little doses.
Little bits. Like, remember when, you know, that one.
Yeah. Oh, so you're going to keep bringing this up.
Yeah, because I have it on tape,
This
too,
is going to be like a boil on his neck, isn't it? I got it.
So every time a disagreement occurs, you're going to say, well, remember the thing about the clutch,
darling?
Yeah, I'm
going to say, I can always call again.
Whoa.
I can get right back on that phone.
I mean, you can.
See, now, that's the difference between men and women.
Yeah?
I think so. I mean, this is going to get me in trouble. Jennifer's naughty.
You're done.
Men, the approach that most men would take would be to just have a clean breast of it. Just come right out, have an argument or discussion or whatever it takes, clear the air, and that's the last you would ever hear of it.
Yeah.
Women, on the other hand, tend to... nag? Oh, that's a bad...
No, oh, I mean, are you...
Nag is not the word. Remind one.
Hey, if you want any advice on sleeping in the garage,
I can
give you lots of advice on how to get comfortable in a garage.
What do you do about the mosquitoes this time of year?
Oh, you're in trouble.
You have any citronella candles I can borrow?
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay, Beth.
Oh, geez.
I know
why
you'll handle it
can
well.
Can we cut this part out of the show?
It'll work out.
Not for me, it won't. See you, Beth.
Thanks
you
for calling.
So
bye.
Bye-bye.
Well,
oh,
it's
man.
Happened again. You have squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And, of course, our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Kathmandu, braised yak stew, pork bushu, baked kudzu, kangaroo shrimp ragu, raw tofu lunch, with a view, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley.
Bud Tugley. I like it.
And our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our former brake service manager is Carson DeLake.
Former,
yes. Our Puerto Vallarta transmission specialist is Cinco de Mayo. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Yui Louis Dewey, known to the hacky sack prodigies in Harvard Square as Yui Louis Dewey. If only there was a way to put that to good use. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
I hear an echo. You can get a podcast of this show, download other family alienating episodes, and check out our clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk vehicle donation program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though someone at the Pew Charitable Trust is forced to walk the plank every time we say it, this is NPR.